Have a great week.
Good morning. It's great to see you guys. You guys look awesome out there. Hey, make eye contact with somebody sitting near you and just give them a little slight nod that says both Happy Memorial Day and I'm glad you're here. Same nod. Go ahead. Make eye contact. Give that slight nod, that little, hey, glad you're here. Happy Memorial Day. Good to see you out there. Good. Excellent. Very good. Hey, we are actually in week 8 of a sermon series called Generations. Why do you guys say generations one time? Generations. And we're looking at the effect that one generation has on the next generation. Of course, our church vision is building generations for Jesus Christ. And we're just examining and looking at these generations and how they can bless each other and how they affect each other. And so we're really examining closely these four generations of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And last week, we began examining the story of Jacob and his brother Esau and looking at how they interacted. Let me just remind you about Joseph and Esau. They were twin brothers, fraternal twins. And here's what it says about Jacob and Esau. The boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. And last week we studied, or 2 weeks ago, we studied about how Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. And now we come to an interesting story in Genesis 27:1. And here's how the story goes. When Isaac, that's their father, was old, and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son. He said to him, "My son." How about this? I'll do Isaac. You guys do Esau. So he's strong and a hunter. So think of that in the voice. So here we go. Isaac says, "My son." Yeah. Oh, you guys are a good Esau. You guys are a really good Esau. So it goes on like this. Isaac said, "I am now an old man." I'm done with that part. And I don't know the day of my death. And here's what he means. I'm dying. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but I know I'm dying. And I'm an old man. I don't know the day of my death. And here's what I want you to do, son. Here's what I want. Prepare for me the kind of tasty food that I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die. So here's what he says. Esau, get your bow and your arrow and go out in the open country. Find a deer or some animal and kill it. And come back and prepare me this kind of game that I like to eat. And after my last meal, I'm going to eat this meal. I'm going to give you this blessing. Now here's the blessing. I want to just stick on this for 1 second. The sermon title today is The Power of the Blessing. I'm going to talk about this, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm not going to describe it to you or talk about it. I want you to just gauge for yourself how important is this thing that they're calling the blessing. And let's keep going. Now, Rebecca, this is actually kind of like a little soap opera going on. So we have Isaac, he's probably laying down in bed, and Esau comes in, and somewhere off to the side, there's his wife, and his wife's name is Rebecca, and she's quietly listening to what's happening. She's spying in on the scene. Here's verse 5. Now, Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau, and when Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebecca said to her son Jacob. So she went and grabbed Jacob, the younger of the twin boys, and she says to Jacob, she says this, "Bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it." She says this, "Let's deceive your father. You go get some goats and bring in. We'll pretend the goats are the food that your brother Esau has caught out there in the open country." Look at verse 10. "Then take it to your father to eat so he may give you his blessing." There it is again, this mysterious blessing that we see. "That he may give you his blessing before he dies." Now, right away, Jacob protests, and I wish Jacob protested, and I wish he said, "Mom, this is wrong, okay? We can't lie to Dad. We can't deceive Dad. This is wrong, Mom. No, we can't do your plan." But Jacob's protest wasn't, "Mom, this is wrong." His protest was, "Mom, this isn't going to work. My brother Esau is a hairy man." The word Esau means hairy. It's hairy. "While I have smooth skin, my skin is smooth and Esau is hairy, and Dad will never believe that I'm Esau." I wish that protest would have been, "Mom, it's wrong to lie and to deceive." But you know what, in families, just see if you agree with this. Sometimes in families, we do things that we know are wrong. We do things in families that we know aren't the right way of doing it, because we've been in this family for years and years, and because of all the history and all the generational things and what's going on, sometimes in families, you do lie. You do deceive. You do use mom to play against dad to get what you want. Okay, as a kid, who did that? Come on, raise some hands. Right, play mom against dad. Okay, two or three brave souls out there admitted that, right? And this is what's happening. It's wrong. Let's call it out. It's wrong to lie and deceive in this way. Now, don't forget what we learned last time, 2 weeks ago, that Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You see, parents, just take note of this. This favoritism of one child over the other is getting worse and worse through these four generations. It's going to be much worse, you'll see, next week when some horrible things happen because of favoritism for parents and their children. But we see it. Take note of it. Some very unhealthy things are happening in this family, and no one's standing up. And no one's saying, whoa, stop. Mom, dad, this is kind of crazy. It's okay to stand up in your family and call out what's right and what's wrong. Amen? Take a stand in that way. Here's what happens next, 15. Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and she put them on her younger son, Jacob. So Jacob is wearing Esau's clothes so that he will appear to his father to be Esau. And then she does this, I think this is a crazy thing. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skins because Esau was that hairy. How hairy was Esau? As hairy as a goat. That's the answer to that question. So he puts on these goat skins so that when his father feels that goat skin, he'd be like, oh, it's Esau. You know, after all, that's how hairy Esau was. And that's how this deception goes. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she's made. And Jacob's going to walk in. I'll tell you, this week I was reading the story. Now, this is interesting for me. See if this is the same thing for you. I don't recall a time ever being alive when I didn't know this story. I don't recall ever hearing this story. I just kind of knew it. Anybody else in that same category with me about this story? It's a strange thing. I just always knew it. But this week, I'm sure my mom told me as a young child, I'm sure it's what happened. I wasn't born with the knowledge of this story. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying some strange thing. But as I read the story fresh this week, I found myself getting kind of angry about this story. You know, my father had some serious dementia as he was passing away, and we never would have deceived my father. It was unthinkable to not respect him in the right way. But here we see this father is not being respected. He's not being shown the proper respect. I found myself reading the story this week wishing that Jacob would stop at this moment before he commits this sin to stop and repent and wait. But he doesn't do it. He's got the tasty food. He's got Esau's clothes. He's got the goat skins. Is that amazing or what? He's got the goat skins on. And he walks right into this room. And he goes right in to deceive his father. That's what happens. He went to his father and he said, my father. Okay, I'm just imagining his voice kind of sounds like that. My father, he said. Yes, my son, he answered. That was like the count from Sesame Street. I think I got a little. All right, I'm just going to read it straight now. No more voices. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Now here's where Jacob could stop and don't go over this waterfall. Don't do this thing. But Jacob does it. Here's what he says. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so you can give me your blessing. Here they have some back and forth. If you read the story, you can get the back and forth. It's almost humorous because Isaac says, you have the voice of Jacob, but the skin of Esau is basically what he says. He feels him. He feels the goat skin. Oh, you feel like Esau. He smells him. He's wearing Esau's clothes. Oh, you smell like Esau. You must be Esau. And Isaac does this thing. He leans over and he says, give me a kiss. And Jacob leans in. He gives him this kiss and puts his arm around him, puts his hand probably on his forehead, and he gives him this blessing. Now listen, just listen to this. Just look at this with fresh new eyes today. The blessing is so small. This blessing is not four pages in the Bible or a whole chapter. The blessing of Isaac, it's not. The blessing is two verses. It's 55 words. The father says to his son, 55 words. I can read this verse, these two verses, I can read this blessing in 28 seconds. And that's not even trying, because I can read fast, people. I'm a fast talker. But this is the thing. It's not very much. The heart, oh, that happened. Without squeaking, I can read it in 28 seconds. The heart of the blessing is verse 29, where Isaac says this, thinking to Esau, but to Jacob he says, may nations serve you. And people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. But it's not a very long blessing. It's just basically this blessing. I bless you. May others serve you. May you be prosperous and do well. That's the basic blessing that's there. Of course, the story goes on. Jacob walks out of the room. He's got the blessing. And then Esau returns. He actually prepares the food. And he walks in after Jacob leaves and says, Dad, I'm here. Sit up and eat the food and bless me. Dad, bless me. And Isaac learns that he's blessed the wrong son. Look at his reaction. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. He's so full of emotion. He's trembling uncontrollably with his anger and disgust and doesn't know what to do. Look at Esau's reaction. When he learns he didn't get the blessing, listen to this. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." The New Living Translation has it like this. "Bless me too." He begged him. Just take note that Esau weeps and begs for the blessing. I need to be blessed. But Isaac won't do it. He won't give him the blessing. He says, "You know what, son? I'm sorry. I already gave it away. The blessing is gone." He says, "Father, do you only have one blessing? Give me a blessing." You can go read it for yourself. Isaac mumbles out a blessing. "Well, I bless you that hopefully, you know, you're going to be okay and your brother's going to rule over you." That's a nice blessing. Thanks, Dad. "Your brother will rule over you, but eventually you'll kind of rise up," is the blessing he gives him. And Esau is so upset. Look what it says in verse 41. "From that time on, Esau hated Jacob and he began to scheme. 'I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" Now I want to ask this question of you. What is up with this blessing? What is up with this thing that it's only 55 words? It's only two verses. It's basically spoken words of goodwill from father to son. What is up with this blessing? Look at how this blessing affects this family in such a fundamental way. Rebecca deceives her husband and cheats her firstborn son out of it. That's how important it was for her, for Jacob to get it. Or look at this. Jacob lies to his father and he puts on goat skin. I feel like here at Spring Hills, we could have an expression amongst ourselves like, "How important is it to you? It's so important, I would put on goat skin. That's how important, you know, it would be." Or at my house, "Honey, let's get Chinese food." "I don't know, do you want Chinese food?" "It's so important, honey, I'd put on goat skin for Chinese." You know, it just seems like this amazing thing. Put on goat skin, it's crazy. I mean, seriously, what is up with this blessing? Look at what Isaac trembles uncontrollably when the wrong son gets it. And worst of all, Esau. He weeps for it, begs for it, and plots to murder. Because this is a big deal, right? This blessing is something huge that we truly have to understand for this story and for our lives and for the generations that we're a part of in our family. Here's a great quote on the blessing and what it is. It's by a pastor. The pastor's name is Chris Bennett. Here's what he says. "The blessing was a gift of love, approval, and acceptance. In the Old Testament, the blessing of a father to his sons included words of encouragement and prophetic words concerning the future. But listen. The desire to be blessed transcends all times and all cultures, from the time of Jacob and Esau to our time today. It is a basic human need to receive love, approval, and acceptance." Now stop. Let me ask this question to you. Do you believe this is true? It's a basic need to receive love, approval, and acceptance. Agree with that? Raise your hand. It's a basic human need. It's a basic thing that we're all longing for. You know, yesterday I had the great pleasure, it was just a total blast, to be right here on this stage at the Granville Christian Academy graduation day was yesterday. And I personally love graduation day. I know it's gonna be emotional, it's gonna be exciting, and students I've seen for 13 years in the building, they're graduating, and it's a big day. And yesterday I saw two really unique blessings that were awesome to witness. The first of them was for a wonderful 93-year-old woman named Molly Lee. How many of you guys have heard Molly Lee's name? You know, Molly Lee. Molly, we found out earlier this year, I didn't know, someone told me that Molly had been in high school. She was in Burma, lived in Burma. And Molly was in high school in Burma, and she was set to take her final exams and graduate high school in 1942. Or one, two, one, two. 1942. Thank you. You didn't agree. It really messed me up there when you didn't agree on that. In 1942, she was going to graduate high school. And there she was about to graduate, and World War II was on, and the Japanese began to bomb Burma, and her family fled to the hills. And she never, ever had a high school graduation in all these years. She came back, and she was living there in Rangoon later, and she learned English and Chinese and had this great experience, worked in the U.S. Embassy, came to America. Her children are amazingly successful. Her son Owen is a doctor at LMH, but she's never received her high school diploma. And yes, they took her 93 years old in a wheelchair, and they brought her up and they picked her up and brought her on the platform and they gave her that diploma. Let's give a hand for that. What an awesome thing. And actually, my view of it, I was sitting here and I was looking out and I could see her son Owen, and he was beaming. His face was just beaming. There's my mom, finally getting what she deserved. And her face, she's in that wheelchair, but man, she is sharp as she was on day one. I'll tell you that right now. And she got that diploma. It was this blessing. Here's a blessing. Here's a recognition. And it was awesome. The entire room, this room, stood up and gave her a standing ovation. It was amazing. She had that blessing. I also watched those graduates yesterday. They had this blessing, and I just love that this happens. The students are all sitting there. They're high school seniors. They got their gowns on. They're all sitting there, you know, kind of in their spot. And they're just thing in the ceremony where the teachers came up yesterday, and they actually had for every student, they read these things. For every student, they said, here's what your parents think about you. And none of them were bad. Wasn't that nice? They think you should clean up your room. No, it wasn't any of that. Here's what your parents think about you. Your parents think that you're wise beyond your years, and they see your internal strength. It was a blessing. Then they read the second part. Here's what your teachers think about you. Here's what the other students think about you. And here's what your parents think you'll be remembered for your time at GCA. And you can watch those students. If you looked at the one they're talking about, they're just sitting there like a normal student. And the more they talk, the more they set up, and they kind of received that blessing. Let me tell you, I believe it. I believe it is a human need to receive love, approval, and acceptance, especially in the way that Jacob and Esau are fighting for it from their father and from their mother, to receive this very basic statement of love. I love you. I approve of you. I accept you. It's such a strong thing. You know who agrees with me on this is Paul Tournier, the late Swiss psychiatrist and theologian. He actually was practicing psychology in Switzerland in the late 60s. And as he was there working as a psychiatrist and also a theologian, he had this thing that happened again and again. Here's how it goes. He discovered a recurring psychological problem in his therapy in Switzerland. And he gave this problem, he saw it again and again, he gave it a name. He said, here's the problem that I see. He called it the unblessed child. He's seeing people that are successful and people that were doing well in life, but something was missing and a basic insecurity ruled their life. And he said, you know what? Here's the problem. You are an unblessed child. Here's what he says. It had nothing to do with the gift of the person, or the ability of the person, or the life the person enjoyed, or even material possessions. It had to do with this person not being blessed, not feeling approved of by his parents, feeling that somehow they did not measure up. They are haunted, this is his words, they are haunted with the knowledge that they are unblessed. They say to themselves, I never amounted to what my mother wanted for me. I never accomplished what my father wanted me to accomplish. The approval they longed for was never given. And they're missing this basic understanding that I'm loved, accepted, and approved of. They never received this blessing. Now, I'll tell you, in the story we just read, the blessing is a one-time thing. But in my experience, in my life, there's no one-time blessing. You can't pull your wife in on your wedding day and say one time, honey, look at me in the face. I love you. If it changes, I'll let you know. You know, you can't do that. It's a consistent thing of blessing people. Some of you look at me like, you can't do that? Really? No, listen, man, you can't do it. You know, wives, you can't say to your husband one time, I approve of you and I love you. And if it changes, I'll let you know sometime in the future. You've got to consistently bless. Amen. Can we say that? You got to consistently bless your children. It's not a one-time thing. You can't be overly critical of your kids their entire life and then bring them together at one point and say, hey, by the way, I love you and you're great and I approve of you. It doesn't work that way. There's got to be a consistent blessing. Here's what the blessing is. The blessing is giving this message in a very direct way. It's a message of love, approval, and acceptance. You can write that in your notes if you want. It's giving this message of love, approval, and acceptance. It begins in this way. It begins with your parents. The parents that consistently say to their children, they discipline them. They discipline them in a very good and balanced way, but they take time to tell their children, hey, I love you, I accept you, I approve of you. They find ways to give a blessing. One of the things I've already done this summer is set some goals for myself. How do I bless my children intentionally? We often go on vacation. We're gonna go this summer as well, and we go to see my brother-in-law. And he lives somewhat near about probably 10 minutes away from a coffee shop that is right there by the water in North Carolina. And what I almost always do every year is I pick one day for Elizabeth, one day for Olivia, one day for Ella. And I say, if you want to go, I'll take you for coffee. And it's amazing. My kids will wake up before me and they'll come shake me. Dad, it's our day to get coffee. And I'll wake up, I'll get in the car, everybody else is asleep in the house, and I'll drive down, and we'll walk in all groggy-eyed, and we'll both, you know, they'll get hot chocolate, I'll get the strongest coffee you got, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and they give us the coffee, and we walk down to the water, and we sit there, and I put my arm around them, a different one each day, and they nuzzle in, and I just bless them. I just tell them things about themselves, that I love this about you, and you're so great in this way, and we'll have a joke, and we'll laugh, and it's a blessing. You know, parents need to consistently find ways to bless their children. Do you agree with that? If you're growing up, by the way, once you get past that parental blessing and you receive that, you're looking for a second blessing. That's from friends and friendships. You want to find people that give you love and approval and acceptance. Even as adults, we need that as our friends to let us know they love us, they approve of us. It's a healthy thing to be blessed consistently by our friends. At some point, as you develop, you come to a point, and what you really want is you want to know, does someone else of the opposite sex, do they have this affection for me? Do they love me? Can I be accepted in this way? And you want that blessing as well. I heard a story this week about exactly this thing. It was about a farmer. The farmer was a dairy farmer specifically, and he was living in a rural community, and he bought his farm somewhat young, and he dedicated himself to his farm, and as he grew older and older, he realized, you know, there's not very many young ladies in this area, and I want to get married. He just despaired. Maybe I'll never get married, and I don't know. And one day he went to church in his little country church, and there was the new school teacher, and she was a little younger. But he thought, wow, maybe this is someone for me to marry and have a relationship with. So he walked up to her and he said, "Honey, why don't we go to lunch today?" And she said, "All right." And they went to lunch that day, and their relationship began to bloom and blossom. And finally, he said, "After lunch, after church, come back to my farm, and I want you to look at my cows." She said, "All right." They went out to his farm, and they're looking at the cows, and as they're looking over this herd of cows, one of the male cows, a bull, walked up to a female cow, and it began to nuzzle the cow's nose, and it was a sweet little moment, and the farmer thought, "Here's my time. Here's my moment to find out, does she love me?" And he looked over at her and he said, "Do you see those cows right there?" She said, "Yeah, I see them." He said, "Boy, that looks nice. I'd sure like to do that one day." And she looked back, her eyes are big, and she said, "You can do it any day you want. It's your cow." It's that desire for romantic love and acceptance to say, I need it. I need to know that I'm loved. And you know what? Even past your wedding day, you need this blessing of knowing consistently that your husband or your wife loves you, approves of you, has acceptance for you. As it goes from parents, eventually friends, romantic love, eventually there's adult relationships with a boss and coworkers and schoolmates and whatever. And when all these circles are giving you love, approval, acceptance, you feel pretty good. But let me tell you, even if every one of these circles, your parents did it well, your friends do it well, your husband, your wife does it well, your other adult relationships around you do it well, still, let me say it, still, you need it. You consistently need this blessing to know, I am loved, approved of, and there's acceptance that's there for me. Most of us need to be blessed consistently. Can you agree with that idea? You need it consistently. Someone to tell you, I love you, I approve of you, I bless you. We need it consistently in our life. We need it from parents to go to children. So right now, if you're a parent, I want you to be thinking about your kids. How can I bless my children consistently to let them know I love them, I approve of them, I accept them? Or your spouse, think consistently. How do I tell my spouse I love them, I accept them, I approve of them? It's a consistent message I'm giving. Doesn't mean we can't disagree. Please disagree. Have healthy conflict. But consistently, you're blessing. Your parents are blessing their children. Spouses blessing each other's. Friends blessing each other. Let's just pause on this idea and ask this question. Hey, Pastor Tom, I do want to bless others. By the way, who out here, raise your hand, would say, I do want to bless others. Anybody out there like that? You want to bless others? How do you do it? How do I bless someone else? Here's some just quick thoughts. Touch is one way that we see in the Bible a blessing is communicated. Isaac says to his son, he says, "Come here, come close to me. Let me give you a kiss. Let me put my arm around you." Appropriate touch is a great way just to bless someone and say, "Hey, I love you. I approve of you." Friday, I pulled in the church here, and this is a real quick story. I pulled in the church, and I was busy, and I had a lot of stuff going on, and I got out of the car, and I was going to walk in the church to do a few things with my day off, and I wanted to get in and get out as fast as I could, and I was going up. And Pastor Mark, my very good friend Pastor Mark, there he is right there. He was walking out, and he saw me, and I was feeling a little, you know, just busy and overwhelmed, and Pastor Mark walked up to me, and he said, "Come here, come here." And I walked in, and he gave me this amazing Mark Elliott hug, which I love, by the way. And just that hug, that little hug, he said, "Man, have a great day. I wouldn't hug anybody, but I'd hug you." And I said, hug you too. And he walked off. And I thought, man, that was a blessing right there. And he got in his car. It was like 20 seconds, Mark. It was like 20 seconds of blessing. But that touch communicates blessing. Or here's one right here. Time. Giving someone your time. Just saying, hey, I want to have lunch with you. I'll have coffee with you. I'll make time for you. I'll put you in my schedule. Says, I want to bless you. I want to spend this precious commodity that we can't get enough of. I want to spend my time with you. A third one is very important is words. Words of blessing. Telling your spouse, your children, your friends, those around you, even strangers at times, just words of blessing. Just speaking true words about who they are. I recently became aware of this documentary about David Beckham. How many of you guys know David Beckham is? He's probably the most famous, one of the most famous soccer players in the entire world. His soccer career has ended, and they made a documentary about him. It's called Beckham, Into the Unknown. His soccer life is ending, and he's going to a new place, and they were just filming him. And they asked him, they said, what are some of your memories as a young person about playing soccer, football for them? You know, playing football, not real football, sorry, David Beckham, but, you know, playing this sport. What are your memories? And he smiles in the documentary. He smiles really big, and he says this thing. He says, you know, when I was young, every Saturday morning, my dad was a plumber. And I'd go with my dad to work, and my dad would do his work about half the day and would have lunch. And every Saturday afternoon, my dad would take me out with the ball, and we'd kick the ball around. And Dave Beckham smiles, this big smile, and he's obviously enjoying that memory. And then a shocking thing happens. The interviewer says to David Beckham, he says, oh, it's like a natural response. He says, oh, your father must have been very proud of you. Was your father proud of you? And Beckham's face changes immediately. And he says, well, after my 100th match as England's captain, my father once said to me, you did all right. And you could see on David Beckham's face, the most famous soccer player in the world. He's made millions and millions of English pounds and dollars and all this money. But you saw on his face right there, he was lacking his father's basic words of acceptance and love. And he needed it. Are you with me on this? Do you know what I'm saying? How do you bless others? Touch and time and words of blessing, and you bless others as God directs you. You know, we had a team from our church that recently went to the Middle East. They were in the country of Jordan. How many of you guys are aware of what I'm talking about? That team that went to Jordan that was out there. And they recently had a sharing about their trip. And I went and listened to them share about their trip. And something was said that just really caught my attention. They said they went one day on their mission trip in Jordan. They went to see some refugees from Syria and from Iraq. And these refugees have lost everything. And they're there doing a medical clinic for them, and they had toys for the children, and they were there giving them some basic supplies. And a woman walked up, a Muslim woman, covered up, walked up to one of our team members from our church, and she said, I don't understand you. I don't understand you Christians. I don't understand you. And the team member said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, other groups come. You know other groups. Other groups come, and they give us food, and they give us medical supplies, and then they just leave. But when, listen to this, when Christians come, she said, when Christians come, you come and give us what we need, but then you sit with us, and then you hold our hands, and then you say to us, tell us your story, and we tell our story. You Christians, you cry when you hear our stories. Why do you love us? Why do you have this love for us? And then our team got to say, our love for you comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where our love comes from. What they were doing, they were blessing as God directed them. They were there with touch and with time and with prayer and words of blessing. And this Muslim woman could not imagine, where does this love come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's something I want to tell you. Just listen. Most people you meet are seeking a blessing. Everywhere you go, when you walk to church today, people around you, they're seeking a blessing. They're seeking the love and approval that they need desperately in their life. They need it, and you need it. Let me just make this statement. We find ourselves with this deep need to be blessed, to know we are loved, approved of, and accepted. And it's there for us every day of our life. Sometimes it feels far away. Sometimes it comes up really close and you feel that need. But you know what? The world we live in does not meet this basic need. You know, like Jacob, a lot of us are wearing some kind of goat skin to get a blessing. Some of us are disguising who we are so others will give us a blessing that we desperately need. Or some like Esau are crying out, bless me. You know these people, they probably annoy you somewhat because they cry out for it. They need attention constantly and they're just saying, bless me, bless me, bless me. But our world does not exist in a way that would be healthy for our needs to be met. And it doesn't exist in that way for Jacob and Esau either. So what do? We live in a world that cannot meet our basic needs. What do? Let me show you what happens to Jacob next, and it answers that question. What are we to do? So Jacob's in this place, and his brother's going to kill him, and here's what happens. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, that he was waiting to murder Jacob, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran." She says, "Run to my brother, run to your uncle. He'll protect you, and here's how long you should stay there. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides." So Rachel says, "Run away, Jacob. We stole the blessing for you. We deceived your father. Now run away." And so Jacob takes off. Look at this next verse. It's so interesting. So Jacob left. It goes on in verse 10. You can read that. But Jacob left. I picture Jacob in a robe with sandals and a long stick and like a little, you know, handkerchief on the back. He's like walking, you know. He's leaving. He's leaving home. He's got nothing. He's leaving. And when he reaches a certain place, now this place that he reaches is actually very important. Many believe what he reaches is the future site of Jerusalem, the future site of the temple is where he is when he stops. That's what many believe. When he reaches a certain spot, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. This means he's walking for so long, the sun sets and he's still walking. And here's how you know it was God's plan, but random for him, by this sentence. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Whoever had a stone pillow before, right? You know you're in trouble when you're like, "I need the softest rock I can find. You know, I got to find a soft rock to lay my head upon." He finds a soft rock and he lays down to go to sleep. And he's got all these needs are within him and inside of him. And he lays down to sleep. And here's what happens. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with his top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on the staircase. Led Zeppelin was playing in the background, a soft version of Stairway to Heaven, as he was sleeping there in that place. And he saw this stairway from heaven. Here's the thing. Jacob has an encounter with God. And let me tell every one of you this. Inside of you, there are deep needs that you have, that your parents, even if they're great parents, they can't meet your deep needs. And your friends can't meet your deep needs. And your wife or husband cannot meet your deep needs. You have a blessing that you need, and ultimately, the blessing comes from God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Jacob has a dream, and I want to show you something so clearly that I want you to see it. Jacob has a dream, and in the dream, he says the angels of God were ascending and descending on the stairway to heaven. Say these two words with me. Ascending, say ascending, and say descending. Now, here's why I had you say it, because that phrase appears one other place in the Bible, only one other place. In fact, thousands of years later, Jesus explains exactly what Jacob saw on that night in his dream. Here's what Jesus said. It's in John chapter 1, and he's standing there, and Nathan walks up to him. And Nathan walks up, and Jesus says, "Oh, Nathan, you've come to see me. You were sleeping under a fig tree." And Nathan said, "Oh, you are the Son of God." And Jesus said, "You believe because I saw you under a fig tree?" And then he says this. And then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open." Listen. "And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Listen, listen. Jesus Christ is the stairway to heaven. The angels ascend and descend on the staircase, which is Jesus Christ. Two things I want you to see about this that are so clear and so important. Jesus says, "I am the stairway to God. I'm the only path you have to God." Jacob, you know, you went to your father for your blessing and you deceived him and your father blessed you. But there's one true way to be blessed, and that's to go through Jesus Christ, to have a relationship with God. But I want you to see this. Through Jesus Christ, God came down the stairway. The angels were descending, but you know who else descended? The Son of Man descended on that staircase, and he took on flesh to live amongst us on this earth to show us true love. This is Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure you know that already. Memorial Day weekend holds a very special, special spot in my heart. Because in 1996, which is exactly 20 years ago this weekend, I went out. I was in grad school in Kentucky, and 20 years ago exactly this weekend, I went out with some friends on Saturday night, would have been last night, 20 years ago. And some things happened, which I will not get into, which were not favorable for the police, and I ended up spending the night in jail. Not the first time, but it was the last time. Praise God. And I spent the night in jail. I woke up that Sunday morning just like it is today, and I had some hard realities in my life to look at. I went home, I got released from jail, and I walked out about 10 a.m. I walked out, what time is it right now? Just about exactly right now, 20 years ago. I walked out of that jail, and I got a taxi, and I made my way home. And didn't have money to pay the taxi. I had to go inside, find some money, come back out, pay the taxi. And I went in there, and I called my dad, and eventually I got on my knees. And I had this one question. I grew up in church. I grew up knowing right from wrong, and I grew up in church. But I had this one question. Does God actually exist? Does God want to be involved in my life? You see, I had all these needs. I had all these things happening, just like we all do. And my question was, does God care? And I got on my knees, and I learned that Jesus Christ came down that staircase because you know what? He met me in that apartment in Louisville, Kentucky. Where's he met you? He met me right there. He came down and his peace covered me, and I surrendered again. I said, God, I'll give you 30 days of my life. I'm going to study you and find out if you're real or if you're not real. And I took a step towards Christ, and here's what I found out. This blessing of love and approval and acceptance that I had from my parents, I had from my friends, I had from others. But it was only truly met through God himself. You see, the love is there from God. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Listen, and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. I learned that God's love is real, not just real, like in the Bible. You read it and you think, okay, if it's in the Bible, it must be true. No, I found out it's true. God's love is real, and it comes down that staircase through the Holy Spirit and meets you in your life. I found out that this is true as well. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. On the contrary, Paul says, we speak as though, say it with me, approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. I found out that God, not because of what I had done, I messed up my life, but I found out that because of the sacrifice of Christ, God could approve of me and I could have salvation. God can approve of us and also entrust us with the gospel. And I found out, last of all, Romans 15:7, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. Here's what I found out. When I accepted Christ, Christ also accepted me. And finally, the blessing that I was craving could be fulfilled because I knew the love of God and the approval of God and the acceptance of God. Now, let me just say to all of you in this room, I know that you have a need. Whatever age you are, I know there's an internal need for you to consistently receive this blessing. Love and approval and acceptance, and I hope you had it from your parents, and if not, you probably feel like something's missing. And I know you want it from your friends and those that you know around you and those that you love. I know you want it from them. I know that you desire acceptance from your coworkers and people around you to have that feeling, okay, I've been blessed. But ultimately, the blessing that you crave can only be met through Jesus Christ and through salvation that comes from him. But even after salvation, as you're discipled and as you grow, you come to know God is real and he is here with me right now. And the last thing I'll say is this. As a Christian, one of your primary responsibilities as a parent and as a Christian is to bless. This entire message has been about receiving a blessing, but just understand you're called to go the other direction. You're called to bless others. You're called to bless. We are called to bless our children. Who here would say, raise your hand, you have a burning desire to bless your children? Just raise your hand. I want to bless my children. If you don't have kids yet, you're talking in the future when I have them, you know, in that statement. I have a burning desire to bless my spouse. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I want to bless my spouse. I want to. I want to bless the people that I encounter that God brings into my life, and I want to bless God. I want to bless him. We're called to have this blessing for God, to love God, with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Let me say one last thing and I'll close out this message. So I came to graduation day yesterday for GCA and I needed to wear my suit. And I actually have exactly one suit that I can wear. I have one suit. So I went to get my suit out of the closet in my house to get ready for graduation. I had timed things pretty well and went to get my suit. And I had totally forgotten. A few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I officiated a wedding and the wedding was outdoors and it was raining and the wedding was in a tent, but walking to the wedding, I had mud splattered all the way up and down my suit, on my pants. So I got it out and I got my pants out and there's mud all over my pants and I had a little moan of panic, like, what am I gonna do? Unfortunately, my wife was gone. Otherwise, I'd be like, Tracy, help me! And she was gone. I didn't know what to do. She was shopping and I was like, what am I gonna do in my pants? I don't know. So I stood there and I put the pants down on my ironing board and I got a warm rag. I started to, you know, kind of wash them off and get them off. And I had a thought about my suit. And this is the thought I had. The way I treat my suit is the way some of you treat God. And here's what it is. When I need my suit, I get it out, I iron it, I put it on, I look pretty good. And then I put it away. But when I don't need it, I don't get it out. When I don't need it, I don't ever think about it. And I had this thought about some of you in this room that you treat God exactly that same way. That you need God and you cry out, God, I need you. And then when God meets your need, you fold God up and you put him on a hanger and you put him right back in your closet. And there God is again until you cry out again, until you need him. Hey, sometimes God needs to go to the dry cleaners, my friends. That was for me. I got to do that for my suit. But you don't put God on a hanger and put him away. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's how you have that relationship with God where he's blessing you and you're blessing him and you're walking with him. Listen to me very carefully. It's the last thing I'm going to say. It's the only way to live this life is to walk with God, being blessed by him and blessing him and others as you walk through life. It's the only way to live. The only way that works is to walk hand in hand with God, knowing him and making him known. Let's bow our heads. As your heads are bowed, I'm going to pray. The praise team is going to walk up and we're going to close out this service. But I want to say this to you. I want you to examine these two things. Do I have a close enough relationship with God where I can receive this blessing from him? Where I can receive his love, approval, and acceptance? And am I in turn blessing God, loving him with all that I am? If not, you've got to prioritize that relationship above all things. Number two, think about this. Am I blessing others? If you have children, are you blessing children, your children? If you don't have children yet, think about the future. Some of you have children and grandchildren. Are you intentionally blessing them? Giving them your touch, your time, your words of blessing, and any way that God directs you to bless them. Are you living to bless others? Because that's the only way that life works. Father, I pray you would speak to us in this time. Because God, it'd be foolish for us to ignore the needs that we have. The need to be blessed, to be loved and approved of, to be accepted. God, we know we have that need. But God, we also acknowledge only you can truly and fully meet this need. And God, we want to live a life with you. We're walking with you hand in hand. Being blessed and blessing others out of the overflow of our relationship with you. And God, we praise you and thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, just stay seated for a second. And Pastor Brad's going to begin to play this song. If at some point you want to stand and worship, feel free. But just think about these things as you listen to this song. For your blood that was shed.
Jesus, you're the King upon the throne. Thank you for the way you always loved me. Now I get to love you in return. Now I get to love you in return.
Hey, I want to thank you for coming today and for being here, and just love you guys and love spending this time with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray a blessing over you before you leave. But just to let you know, on the way out in the back, ladies, there's a table to sign up for the women's Bible study back there. There's also a table back there. We did it this last week. We took time to fill out a little survey. Just ask you guys to help us out, help us help you with technology stuff. If you filled it out last week, great. If not, grab one, fill it out for us, put it in that back table. We'd really appreciate it. I want to give you one more update before I close the service out. Normally, Pastor Coley closes out the service, you know, here at the end, and he is done officially at the end of May, and so we say goodbye to him. It'll be a few weeks where I close the service out in this awkward way that I'm doing it right now, and then soon we'll be announcing the candidate's going to be following Pastor Coley and embracing him and his family with open arms. So just let you know those things are coming, and we're just asking God to lead us in all these ways. Hey, let's bow our heads and just have this last blessing. Father, I pray over every person in this room that, God, they would know you. I pray, God, this blessing over them, that through Jesus Christ, they would come to know you, the God of love, the God who entrusts us with the gospel, and the God who through the blood of Jesus can accept us and who we are. But, Father, the call for us is to repent of living our own way and to live lives, God, where our desire is to bless you and be blessed by you, to worship you and to honor you. And God, we leave this room now to go out and be a blessing to our children or to any children we encounter. Father, to our spouses and our families, but to other families that we encounter. Father, even to those that we don't know, we leave this room to be a blessing. That those that we bless might have that nagging question, what is it about those Christians? And be drawn to you and to your light. Father, we praise you and we thank you. We give you this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and all say, amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. I'll be here next weekend. I'll see you. It's going to be great. Healing prayer team in the back. Go get some prayer back there as well. Thanks. Very good.